This is Totally Heroes. This is our theme song. Yeah, we're Totally Heroes. Well, you've got Dave, and he's the host. We're sorry about that. But hey, there's always Shank, and he's kind of cool. He's like a really techie guy. And then there's Brian. Well, he is the Jason Statham of Lord of the Rings Online. Really doesn't make any sense. But we talk about video games on Totally, Totally Heroes. Well, this song really stinks, but the show is awesome. Listen to Totally, Totally Heroes by QGN. That stands for Quest Gaming Network. Yeah, Totally, Totally Heroes. Gonna start right now. We promise it's better than this theme song. Take it away, Dave. Take it away, Shank. Brian, join in too. Totally Heroes, going live right now.
Welcome to Totally Heroes, the QGN news show where you have a say. Your games right here. My name is Zombie Dave D-Enforce Adams, back this week from my tirade of killing people and eating their brains. With me tonight is the one and only Silent Fury 007, Brian Armstrong.
What's up, guys? Good to be back for another week.
And also we have Shank Tank. I didn't announce him as the one and only because he has four clones.
That is true. Welcome, internets, to episode 40 of Totally Heroes. As you can see, there's nobody dead this week, which is cool because I guess we've all died at one point during the tenure of this show. Up on the news today, some pretty sweet news, actually. We're all three of us are actually very happy about this. Xbox gets a new boss, finally.
Oh my God.
Yay. Then we're looking at Digital Foundry took a look at Second Son, Infamous Second Son on the PS4 and the tech and stuff behind there. And of course, I'm going to be talking about that because that's what I do. We've got Dave's Hero Play with Diablo 3 Reaper of Souls, which I think is, I don't know, it's some like weird, I think it's like some Japanese RPG.
It's basically Sudoku.
Sudoku. Macaroni and cheese amalgam. I don't know. And then finally, we have your quatwa, your question of the week. So we got a pretty full show for you guys today. So let's dive right into it.
Yes, absolutely. First off, let's go ahead and get right into the biggest news in the entirety of Totally Heroes span. The greatest thing you may ever stick in your ears. Brian, please say it loud and say it proud.
Yeah, stick this in your ears. Microsoft has replaced, of course, Mark Whitten, who left the Xbox division recently, with Phil Spencer. He's been named the new head of the Xbox division at Microsoft. So that is great news, big news. This guy, as Shank would probably say, is a huge G.
He is a huge G.
Yeah, and he's gonna be in charge now. So news reports came out today that he is going to head up the Xbox Live teams and the creative teams, including Xbox Music, Xbox Video, and Microsoft Studios. We have a few quotes here we'll read for you. In speaking to IGN, he said briefly, "We're in this to win," and he emphasized a focus on games. He said, "I'm honored to be chosen for this position, but you know what you get when you pick me, which is we're going to take the lead. We're going to lead this platform from a gaming point of view. I want to make sure everything we have on the roadmap going forward makes us the best place for gamers." He went on to say, this may have been with Kotaku actually right here, that there will be no ambiguity about the most important part of the platform. They picked me and they know what they are going to get. So some good news there. He wants to turn the focus back onto games. And Shank, I know you're excited about this. Why don't you tell us what you think about this?
Dude, I am so excited for this because I've listened to a few podcasts with him on, and you can just tell he knows his stuff. Like from an insider's perspective, like from like an actual like games designer perspective. Like he knows his stuff. He understands games. And like this quote for me says it all right here. And this was something that he was speaking with Kotaku. And he says, quote, "The entertainment features that we have on Xbox One are important, but those can't come at a cost for what we do for the core gamer." That makes me so absurdly happy. Like, really, 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 really happy. Because he basically acknowledges that the core gamers are incredible. I mean, we're sick and tired of the entertainment crap being shoved down our throats with the Xbox One messaging. I mean, okay, cool, some people like it, but I mean, I don't care if I can watch Netflix on my Xbox One. I don't care if I can talk to my Kinect so it'll open up my stupid TV app on my Xbox. How I want to know how my Xbox One will be a better games experience, which you promised me. And that is exactly what Phil Spencer is going to be doing, it looks like. And I mean, you can tell. Brian and I were talking about this today, and you can just tell that. And plus, just looking at Phil Spencer's Twitter account, like, he gets it. He gets the gamer audience, and he gets why we're upset, frustrated, and he understands what needs to change. And I honestly think this is a far cry from the Xbox and Microsoft from a year ago. And I honestly think he, out of anybody, they could not have picked a better guy to lead up Xbox. I'm really stoked.
I would have to 100% agree, but I have a question for y'all.
Yeah.
Do you remember about, 2 months back when this verbatim exact same thing happened to Nintendo and people called for him to be removed from the head of Nintendo? This the exact same thing happened.
What's a Nintendo?
Jesus Christ, get out. Get out.
Sorry.
Like,
sorry.
Because it's happening to Microsoft, everybody's like, yay! But when the same exact thing happened to Nintendo, everybody's like, get out.
Yeah, because, well, I don't know. I don't think you can... It's like, Microsoft and Nintendo, I think, are two just inherently different companies with their totally different hardcore loyal fan base. I mean, there's some comparison, I guess, and crossover, but I think overall they're really kind of different.
Not in this one instance. The exact same thing is happening. A guy who is literally the inside man is taking the head of the corporation in a direction that's going to promote gaming for the players, which is exactly what happened with Nintendo. The inside dude, the developer guy, took over Nintendo America away from the guy who was there just to sell more units. So,
yeah, and I don't remember all the specifics of that, but I remember what you're talking about now. The only thing I can think of that why this has made so much bigger news, people seem to be more excited about it, is because we kind of expect this of Microsoft. We expect them coming off the 360 to be this big gaming platform that is leading the world in video games, and Nintendo hasn't been there in a long time. And so maybe this is just sort of maybe it seems like a quicker reaction in people's minds. Like,
my
good.
My fanboy is screaming on the inside. I'm sorry. Yeah, I know I derailed the conversation.
No, I mean, I
Dave,
I
we
joked,
all make mistakes too. It's okay.
Aw. I'll tell you right now, though. If anything, this is the greatest thing that we could have ever asked for.
Yeah.
In fact, over the past few months, the changes on the heads of the big console corporations, the leads of those corporations changing as they've been changing, man, looking forward, I can only expect the best things out of everybody now.
Yeah, I think this is good. You know, PlayStation has done really well with this, with PlayStation 4 and kind of recreating their image and focusing on the gamers. And now Microsoft seems to be taking a page out of their book and saying, all right, we need to go back and do that same thing. And of course, Nintendo is trying to do the same thing as well. So I think this is great for gamers in the future.
I'm excited about this. Yeah. This pleases me. Shank, you did well picking the right guy.
Oh, yeah, you're welcome. And I was jokingly telling Brian, but I'm totally serious, that I'm pretty sure Microsoft read my article from a couple weeks ago about
Oh, okay. We get it now.
Yeah, I basically said that Microsoft was being run by a bunch of suits and not by anyone who's actually passionate about games. I'm pretty sure they read my article and were like, you know what? This guy's right. We totally need to pick a dude who likes playing games. So,
and as you can see on the stream right now, Phil Spencer does not wear suits. So that's great.
You're lucky if he's going to wear pants. The dude wears
games. He pairs a nice blazer with a rather chic shirt and some pretty nice, slightly bleached pants, as it were.
He actually stole those.
I'm excited, man. I honestly, like, this is only going to be good things, especially going into E3. I expect so many. Really, like, I honestly think they're going to knock it out of the park. And this year, it's not too late. It's only been 5 months since they were launched. It's not too late to gain back the trust of your core base.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, in fact, I told you earlier, Shank, like, this is kind of making me a little more excited about getting an Xbox now at some point. I can't get it tomorrow, but
yeah,
it's already buying back some of my confidence in Microsoft. So
100%.
Yeah.
We've even had people tonight say in chat, Xbox One sucks. And at the moment, I would not disagree. But from this change, I can only expect things are going to get better going forward.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yay for hope and possibilities, man, of the future. They can do it. I think they can do it.
Now, we had a few more quotes from Phil and from Microsoft, but I think we kind of covered the important stuff there. But I did have this other thing I thought I'd point out real quick. I won't go through it in super great detail, but
sure.
Since we're talking about consoles, and Shank will be talking about Infamous here in a little bit, I thought I would throw out a few of the top-selling games from the previous week, the week ending March 22nd, which is when Infamous Second Son came out, as well as a few of the games, actually. But the top spots in games sold that week was Infamous Second Son with 695,000 copies, not counting digital sales. And then that's followed up by Metal Gear Solid 5, Ground Zeroes on the PS4, Final Fantasy X2 HD Remaster, and Metal Gear Solid 4 on or 5 on the PS3, and then Titanfall still in there, and then some other games. So the industry is looking really good.
Stop at the Nintendo game.
I still don't know what a Nintendo is. Maybe you can tell me after the show.
What is Nintendo, Dave?
It's my childhood. It's all my childhood.
So it's small and broken? Is that
it's small and broken. That's all it is. Shattered, lying in tears.
But I just think this is a good sign for the game industry itself. We had a lot of games come out in that week, and they all sold, from what I can tell, really, really well. So things are looking good. Now we got a change at Microsoft, and we're heading in the right direction. So gamers, be happy. That's all I got.
Shank, Brian, anything else you two want to say on this matter?
Other than the fact that I'm happy, not really.
Yeah, this is a great change. It's going to benefit us in the long run. You know, actually making consoles for the people who purchase the consoles now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, the bells and whistles are nice. They're not going to make you go out and get one.
Nope, you gotta cater to your core, and whenever you sell a console for the first time, you're marketing directly to the early adopters. And if you don't have them on board, then I mean, say goodbye.
Exactly. Yeah, you need that core people who are gonna pick it up and love it, and then have their friends come over to the house and
evangelize it.
Evangelize it, basically. Yeah. Have the friends go, "What, you have an Xbox One?" Then the guy goes, "Brah, you know what it does? Let me show you something.
Plays Netflix, right?"
No, it does more to that. Just turn it on.
We put a TV in your Xbox One.
Xbox Oneception.
Wow. All right, that's all I got.
I think we've gone too far here. Anyway, the chat room says Nintendo was a console you had to blow into. Thank you, Steve. Anyway, moving on, Shank.
Yo,
you have a very infamous news post for us.
I do. It's actually pretty sweet. So, as per my usual, first of all, Digital Foundry, they're a subsection of Eurogamer, and these guys are like my go-to. I absolutely love them. And today, or I should say last week, they took a look at Infamous Second Son. This is basically Sony's flagship exclusive right now. That is, last week Brian and I spoke very highly of it, and since then I've actually beat the game, and
already beat it.
Yeah, and I'm still playing it after I beat it, because there's some unbelievably amazing weekly free DLC called Paper Trails, and it's a 6-part DLC, one every week, and it's pretty nuts. But anyway, what I want to talk about this week is their tech analysis that they did for this game. And I want to start off with this one quote, because I had a huge sort of wry smile on my face when I read this. And it says, quote, "The power to deliver visuals of this caliber has existed for years on PC, but freed from the shackles of last-gen console development, we can finally see what this tech can deliver." And it's so true. That is probably the one singular truth in this entire article here. And it's this stuff that they're doing in games now on the PS4 and Xbox One. Your PC could do this 2-3 years ago, 2011, 2010. And it's just that you didn't really see it much because the last gen consoles were so weak. And now we can finally see it, full DX11. So speaking of DX11, what does this game have and feature? Well, they concluded that the game was indeed running at full 1920 by 1080, as should be expected of a 2014 video game. And it's actually running a certain form of anti-aliasing. Now, the anti-aliasing they're using here is called SMAAT2X. What the balls does this mean? Okay, this is basically what is called a post-process anti-aliasing, meaning it is done after the pipeline, after the render pipeline, on the completed image itself, not on the geometry and objects individually within the pipeline. So what this does is it kind of takes a look at the image and it applies this post-process anti-aliasing, and it also helps alleviate some of the temporal artifacts. And temporal artifacts are anything caused by, movement. So if you're swiveling your camera around, you might notice some edge crawling and some weird shimmering on certain edges of, like, buildings, etc. And this type of anti-aliasing specifically that they used here helps to eliminate that. Now, this is the same exact methodology that is available if you have Crysis 3 on the PC. You can actually select this anti-aliasing. I personally don't like it because I think it causes too much of a blur, but it gets the job done. In Infamous Second Son, it's pretty good. It's just I'm probably like one of a handful of people that'll still notice the edge crawling and stuff, especially specifically on buildings and sometimes on trees and handrails. But for the most part, it's good. It's got a variable frame rate, so meaning it's not locked to 30. So it can go, you know, up and down, however the engine and scales to, you know, whatever's going on in the environment. So the lowest I noticed was a 30, but I noticed it went high up to like 35, 37-ish at certain parts. And, you might think this is good, but it's weird because I noticed that it caused a sort of a weird judder, and that's actually also echoed in this article. It caused a weird input lag with the controller, and I have to agree with Digital Foundry here when they said that it would be kind of cool if they if Sucker Punch had included an option to lock the frame rate at 30 for the campaign, similar to what Guerrilla Games did for Killzone. I think that would just provide for a smoother experience. As far as the reflection and stuff, because, of course, this is Seattle, it rains a lot, as you can see on the screen right here. There's a lot of rain and puddles, etc., on the screen in the game and all this other stuff. So what they found out was that the puddles and, quote, "puddles and other reflective materials utilize a mix of real-time screen space reflections and cube maps." So in other words, what it does is the game uses a combination of real-time reflection to reflect the environment, as well as baked reflections. Baked reflections are just part of the, think of it as like a, literally like a reflection.
I know what that is.
They pre-prepared it.
Yeah, they baked it as like a texture as you.
That's not what I thought it was.
Pretty much, and it's a very cheap way to do it. That's how you can get very high quality shadows in certain games if you have static lighting. And it actually looks really good. The one thing I found out was that Delson, the character that you play as, actually is not reflected. Like if you run by a building, like a glass building or like a puddle, you actually don't see his reflection. So that's kind of a shame. What?
You know why?
No.
He's a vampire!
Oh, dude, duh. I should have known that. Of course, one of the cool things about this game is that you can, I'm sure you've seen from all the trailers that there's a huge, crazy amount of particle effects. And regards to particle effects, Digital Foundry says, quote, "The engine appears capable of throwing around tens of thousands of individually lit particles at any one time. Indeed, Delson regularly breaks down into thousands of individual particles, while tens of thousands of raindrops populate the same scene. In addition, alpha effects are anything that's transparent like hair, grass, etc. Alpha effects are rendered at full resolution and in large volume, complete with full shadowing. Typically a very demanding effect." And yes, that is an incredibly demanding effect to do that. And the fact that, there have been multiple times when I do something called the orbital drop in the game where you literally drop from the sky like a missile everything just blows up. And there's just smoke, particles, fire everywhere, shrapnel, everything is going on. And the frame rate still stays at that 30 frames per second. And that's genuinely impressive. I thought it was great. Some other things that I noticed that they didn't really touch on too much here was the performance capture. It's stunning. The amount of facial work and the accuracy and how realistic it looks is great.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There's unbelievably good motion blur here, both camera blur as well as per object blur. Really, really good, actually. The one downside I noticed was that they have a level of detail system in-game, or a LOD LOD system, and the pop-in is quite severe and jarring. So that is something you might notice, and it will sort of take you out of it for a second. So that's kind of a disappointment. The rest of the game is pretty fun, though. So I still say play this game. If you are on the fence of if you want a PS4 or not, I will say this is the game to get a PS4 on. And Dave actually before the show said that he's looking at some of my screens and said it looked really damn good.
Yeah, if that's the one thing you take away from this, the game is beautiful.
Yeah.
But if you're blind, you probably shouldn't get this game. We do have something for you if you're blind, though. Right, Brian?
Heck yeah. In fact, you know, I heard your disappointment on Elder Scrolls Off the Record the other day about our segues, and gosh, I've just been really feeling the pressure to come up with a good segue.
We still have a thing to give away that we haven't done yet. We'll give that away probably this next episode. We've been so busy with everything, we haven't even had a chance. I wasn't even here last week to do it. So next week, everybody still has 1 week to put in their best segues. Now I killed this one. In fact, let's get a second to Shank. Is there anything left that we need to say on Second Son?
No, other than the fact that if you're thinking about buying it, buy it. It's a great game. Just buy it. It's really pretty and it's really fun.
How's the gameplay in it? I know we haven't even talked about that yet.
Oh yeah, it's amazing. It's very, very, very. It doesn't do necessarily anything new, but what it does very well, I think.
That usually those are the best games. Honestly, we've said a few times on this show that, you know, some of the best games we've talked about weren't revolutionary, but they were glued together right.
Yeah. And, I mean, honestly, like, Brian and I have been having a blast with this game, so we can't recommend it enough.
Right.
That's all I got.
All right, well, moving on. Brian, what do you got?
Well, I did have a killer segue, but you interrupted it, so now I'm done.
Okay, well, go ahead and do the killer segue.
Okay, sure, I'll still do it.
Okay.
So, hey, Dave, I heard your disappointment in our segue abilities on Elder Scrolls Off the Record this week.
Right, right.
And I've really been feeling the pressure, and I'm getting kind of stressed out. So I decided I should do some research on how to deal with stress. And what I found was a fabulous book on audibletrial.com/questgamingnetwork by somebody named Elizabeth Ann Scott. The book is called 8 Keys to Stress Management. It has a 5-star rating.
Oh my god!
It has a 5-star rating. Unfortunately, only has one review, but still, that's 5 stars. So I would recommend you head over to audibletrial.com/questgamingnetwork and check out 8 keys to stress management and cure your stress. While you're there, be sure to use our special discount that you can get for a free 30-day trial of audible.com. You can download a free book. And if you don't have problems managing your stress, then why not check out The Infernal City, which is an Elder Scrolls novel by Greg Keyes. And since Elder Scrolls Online is just about to come out this week, it might be a good time to hop in there and read up on your favorite game there. When you're done reading that, check out Lord of Souls, which is book 2 of that series. And these novels take place 40 years after the Oblivion Crisis, which was a stressful time. So when you're done reading that one, if you are stressed out, be sure to check out 8 Keys to Stress Management by Elizabeth Ann Scott. Audibletrial.com/questgamingnetwork for your free 30-day trial. Back to you, Dave.
I'll give you that one. I'll give you that one. Okay. Oh, Lord. All right. Moving on, everybody. It is time for our hero play. Or, as we would like to say this week, welcome to Diablo Off the Record. My name's Dave Dean Force Adams, and with me tonight is the one and only Silent Fury 007.
Hey,
Shank,
what's
you
going
can
on?
Sit over there. You're not invited.
Wow.
That's right. This week, we're talking about the Diablo 3 expansion, Reaper of Souls. Reaper of Souls brought out a ton of new content, such as a revamped loot system, revamped difficulty system, as well they brought in brand new characters, 10 more levels, a brand new entire act, bring it up from 4 acts to 5 acts in the game. Oh my god. For those who may have played it and felt that it kind of missed the mark, I would absolutely agree. The original vanilla Diablo 3 missed the mark. But in my experience, from what I've played, and I cannot recommend this game enough, they fixed Diablo 3.
Yeah.
For me, at least. They brought in a new character class called the Crusader. And if you're used to Diablo 2, you know the Paladin. It is the Paladin.
Yeah.
It has the heart and soul of the Paladin all the way. And it is so much fun. I played 3 days straight and brought my Crusader up from level 1 to level 70.
Wow.
Yep. Oh, I'm already playing in the beginning of the highest difficulty, which is Torment 1.
Jesus.
Yep. So... I am so pleased with the changes that were made to Diablo 3. It has earned its right back on the seat of my pissed game, you know, my fallback game, for whenever I have my rage quits. Which is probably a good thing, because ESO just came out, so I need a game I can run to whenever I get so irritated I just need to leave. And... this is one of those games that I can just release some irritation on. I'm really happy with it. Brian, you said you actually got a chance to play this, didn't you?
Yeah, I've been playing a little bit, not nearly as much as you have apparently, but I have been playing my Demon Hunter in the new act and trying to level up from 60 to 70, and that's been fun. But what I really like is that new Crusader. I've played that for a few hours, and oh my god, it's... it's a lot of fun. Just the abilities that he has, even from early in the early levels, they're really fun abilities, and it's just a lot of fun to play that game again. And especially with, like you said, the new loot system. You know, every time every 3 minutes, you're finding a new yellow item, and you'll find legendaries a lot more often. And it's just a lot better. It's amazing. It's a great change. Like I said, it fixed it, and it's a hell of a lot better than it used to be, and I can't wait to get back in and play it some more. I had a question, though. I can't remember how long it was after Diablo 2 launched. They They brought out their first expansion pack. Do you remember, like, how has it, was it about the same time length, or has it been longer this time? Do you remember?
I don't even remember, because I came into Diablo 2 right as they released the expansion.
Oh, okay. I was just trying to figure out if it was the same amount of time. I mean, because it's just, it's amazing how much they fixed and how much they changed it. So I was just really impressed by this particular expansion. So,
right.
But yeah, if you gave up on Diablo, definitely go back and try it out. It's really, really worth it. It's a great game now.
Yeah, the biggest thing that came out new for Diablo 3, was the loot 2.0. Just as Brian said, finding yellows often now, as well as finding legendaries. There's rarely a run I don't find a legendary now.
Yeah, that's totally true. I'm finding them all the time now. I can never find them before, and now they're everywhere.
They did play with the legendaries, though. Like, set pieces only drop in the Torment difficulty now, which is now the highest difficulty. It's replacing Inferno difficulty.
Yeah. And there's multiple levels of it now, too.
Yeah.
Which they kind of had in place before, but it's tweaked now.
Mm-hmm. They also tweaked the Paragon system, so that now, instead of it just being a base bonus to a list of things, now it actually allows you to pick which stats get the bonus. So let's say you're Paragon level 30, you have 30 points to distribute in offensive, defensive, utility, and I can't even remember what the last one was.
Yeah, I forget too.
Healing? Something like that? Anyway. There's a lot of things you can build your character with now. A lot easier gaining bonuses for your character, like upgrades. The game has been completely rebuilt from the ground up, and I love it. Oh my god, I love it.
Now, I actually played the game when it came. I've never played 1 or 2.
Mm-hmm.
And so Diablo 3 was the first Diablo that I played, and mm-hmm. My god, I had so much fun. I played with my Demon Hunter, and my buddy played as a wizard, right. Which is weird because we were both ranged characters, but it somehow worked.
Glass cannons, too.
For some reason, it worked. And we had such a blast. I mean, I loved the crap out of that game. So, basically, Reaper of Souls just makes it better?
It absolutely makes it better. Now, when gear drops, instead of it saying any class can receive their gear to have either strength, intelligence, or dexterity on it,
yep.
Instead of that, when an item drops, unless it's forced to have a specific stat, if an item drops, it drops with a main stat drop. A main stat, then when your character picks it up, let's say he's a barbarian. When that character picks it up, and that main stat item on there, it translates over and then becomes strength. So when you find items, they now will be upgrades instead of being completely useless.
Dude, okay, so like I won't have like 16 pauldrons just for no reason.
Exactly.
Now.
also, to make it even better, let's say you do find the perfect item for your barbarian, but you were on your demon hunter, and it rolled with dexterity. But damn it, if it wouldn't be amazing on your barbarian that uses strength. They added a new character to the game. A new, it's called the Artificer, I believe?
Mystic, I think, right?
Mystic. The Mystic can re-roll one of the stats on your item.
So it's like an NPC in the game that does this for you?
Yes.
Dude. That's pretty sweet.
Yeah. You select the stat that you want to get rid of, and then she picks from a list of like stats, she picks 3. You select which of those 3 that you want. If you don't like it, you can do it again.
That's pretty awesome.
How ballin' is that?
That opens up so much customization.
It absolutely does. Speaking of customization, she also lets you change the look of your items.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Anywho, is there anything left for us to say about Reaper of Souls? Oh my god. Okay, the one thing I do want to say, they fixed the storyline too. I don't want to spoil it for anybody, but I've actually spoken to some of our Diablo loyalists, like Ivarwin, who he hasn't made it through Act 5 yet, but let me just say Act 5 really redeems things that happen earlier on in the storyline.
Good. I'm not through it yet either. I'm hoping so.
It really does. I was pleased with how it is. It opened so many doors that you thought were doors that were completely closed.
Wow.
It really does. It really helps things.
So how much, how much is it, the DLC?
Right now, I believe it's 40 for just the basic upgrade edition. Mm-hmm. There also is a digital deluxe edition, which allows you to get a pet, a few super rare legendary transmogrification items, which allows you to change the look of your gears. Those are weapons as well as headpieces. Also, they just tweeted, let me see what they said. Actually, today is the last day. So if you're hearing this right now, sorry, but if you've pre-ordered, today is the last day to get the pre-order bonuses, which is a set of Wings of Valor. Bright gold wings. Fiery wings that come
They're
out
awesome.
Your back.
I love them.
Also, as a pre-order bonus, you get 3 packs in Hearthstone.
For the Digital Deluxe Edition, right?
For the, I believe, okay. I thought it was... It may be the digital.
Just pre-order. Edition. Okay.
Anyway, it's that. Either the pre-order or digital deluxe. I think it, what you think you're right. I think it's the digital deluxe. Anyway, you also get an unlock for the new Heroes of the Storm game, the Blizzard MOBA that has not released yet.
Shank, I think you'd be really good at that game.
Oh, I'm like pretty much the man.
He's actually going to love this one. It's the Demon Hunter from Diablo 3.
Nice.
In what?
In the new MOBA game. They're stealing it from Diablo 3 and putting it in the new MOBA. The only way to get it is to pre-order by tonight. So if you haven't gotten it, I apologize. But for Shank, go get it, bro.
Demon Hunter's so badass.
Right?
He's easily my favorite class. Oh my god. All right.
Anywho. Let's go ahead and move on just a little bit. Oh, I guess it's time for the Quatwa. Which, thank you. We had to turn off the live stream, but we are still interacting with the chat. You can still participate, those in the chat, even though you can't hear me. Brian posted the Quatwa in chat. Yeah. So we may actually get a few answers. Anywho, Shank, I think it's time for the Quatwa.
Okay. Well, this week's Quatwa is pretty interesting one, I think. So we have games like The Last of Us, which present us with an incredible tight linear narrative. And of course, on the other hand, you have games like The Elder Scrolls that provide the player complete freedom in an open world, but as a result, don't contain the same tightly woven narrative. Of course, there's nothing wrong with liking both styles. Certainly, games like The Witcher 3 are looking to fuse both elements into a single game. However, if you absolutely had to choose, do you prefer games with tightly written linear narratives or bigger open worlds? Sending this off to my hosts first.
Well,
before answering,
you send it to you. Oh, okay. first off, I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
What is The Witcher 3?
The Witcher 3 is...
I think it was on the Nintendo.
I think it was on the Nintendo.
Shut up, Dave.
Yeah. Just answer the question.
actually, my boss, when I worked at the game store in college, he used to play this game after hours at the store and just keep replaying the sex scenes over and over again.
Oh, and Witcher 2?
Yeah, so I have no respect for The Witcher. I'm sorry. I have no interest in it after that. It's been, like, just scarred in my mind.
Oh, there's so much more to the game. Than
I know.
That.
There's so much more.
There may be. Like, it may be the best game in the world, but at this point, it turns my stomach to even hear the name.
Well, all right.
Not sure if that was an answer or what.
No, that is not my answer. My big answer, in all honesty, is I don't like either 100%. I don't like games that have absolutely no direction, but I don't like games that are walk down this hallway to fight the boss so that you can move on to the next hallway. I like games that have a set direction, but allow you to walk back and forth through previous areas. The number one game that I can say does this is Final Fantasy X. After you pretty much complete the game, you can go anywhere in the world. You can even capture all the monsters in the game. I love that. I like the games that there's no direct path ahead of you, but the further you forge forward, the more you unlock.
All right, so that's I guess I haven't played Final Fantasy, but it sounds like what Fable 2 did.
I haven't played Fable 2.
Well, all right. So it sounds to you, it sounds like what Final Fantasy 10 did.
Maybe we could have Brian bridge the gap.
Yeah, well, I think for me, this is an interesting question because my two favorite games are The Last of Us and Dave's favorite game, Oblivion, The Elder Scrolls IV Oblivion.
Of course, my favorite game.
Yeah. Jesus. And obviously, one of those is very linear, story-driven, and then Oblivion is very open world and go do whatever the hell you want to whenever you want. And so those are my two favorite games. I love both styles, but I think if I had to pick, I would definitely choose a more open world. I think this maybe is a new preference for me over the last few years just because I have less and less time to play games these days. And maybe you would think that because of that, I like a more story-driven game so you can get to the end, but I actually prefer an open game where I can go do what I want and spend whatever time I want doing it and, you know, not feel like I have to get to the next save point or... you know, oh, I got to beat this boss or I'll never get to the next level or things like that. I like that I can go play Oblivion or Skyrim and just go and mine crap or, you know, explore and feel like I accomplished something in the 20, 30 minutes I had to play. So I think I like the open worlds these days just because, strangely, I have more time for an open world game that's going to take me 400 hours to beat it than I do something like The Last of Us that, you know, really is... a little more streamlined, a little more hardcore, but I need to devote the time to it. I think I don't know. It doesn't make any sense. I don't think.
No,
but.
it makes sense because if in a story driven game, you kind of have to pay attention to the story, and right. You know, if you wait like 2 weeks between play sessions, like you're like, oh well, crap, like what happened there, like, and it might not be as intense as intended, almost the yeah. plot point. Yeah. So yeah, it makes sense.
Like Final Fantasy 13 is nicknamed Final Fantasy Hallway. Because the gameplay literally is walking down hallways.
I played an hour of it, and that's exactly what I saw, and I gave up because I'm like, okay, this right. is one long hallway. I quit.
Exactly. It's literally fight the enemies as you walk down the hallway.
Yeah.
That sounds like my idea of hell.
It is my idea of hell, too. They killed the franchise. Final Fantasy 13 absolutely killed the franchise.
Isn't that the one with lightning?
That's the one with lightning.
She's hot, though.
You know... doesn't matter. It really doesn't. Like, I get it. There are hot girls in the Final Fantasy games, but yeah. I'd be willing to bet that people who play the Final Fantasy games over games like, I don't know, Agorist War, where it's, you know, boob shots. People who play Final Fantasy play it for the storyline and the gameplay. If it doesn't have both, it's a failure.
There you go.
So,
yeah, it's weird because like The Last of Us for me was my absolute favorite game last year. It's amazing, Of course, Oblivion is my favorite game of all time. But I don't think this is a matter of you have to like one or because of that you can't like the other. Like, I don't think this is necessarily mutually exclusive. But if I had to choose one, like I've written myself in this question, if I had to choose one, linear open world, I prefer the directionless open world, do whatever the hell you want kind of thing. I, for some reason, I just gravitate towards that just freedom of just go do whatever. There's no direction. There's no rules, really. Just kind of go do whatever you want, whenever. So that is if I absolutely had to choose, that's my answer for that.
You know, whenever I hear open world, my thought doesn't go to The Elder Scrolls. Not by a far shot. My thought doesn't go to The Elder Scrolls. Whenever I hear open world, my first thought is Minecraft. I think sandbox games whenever I think open world. So, I mean, even Elder Scrolls. I get it. You didn't play Elder Scrolls that way, Shank. When I played Skyrim, I followed quest to quest to quest to quest to quest to quest. That's how I played Skyrim. I didn't explore. At least not like you. The wild abandon, you know, going wherever I please. I don't like that. I went from quest to quest to quest to quest, opening up each area, going through each dungeon I come across, clearing the map. I genuinely followed progression in that game.
Right. But I guess, I mean, I'm not specifically talking about Elder Scrolls. Like, I'm GTA 5, another giant sandboxy open game.
God, I hated Grand Theft Auto for that. I genuinely hated Grand Theft Auto because it had so little direction in it.
Yeah, I would agree with you there. I stopped playing Grand Theft Auto 5, not because I didn't like it, but it was almost too open for me. I'm like, okay, I lost track of the story because I've been driving and smashing into people for 4 hours, and I don't know what I'm doing anymore except jumping over cliffs and stuff and having a good time doing that. But I lost interest because I didn't know what was going on, and it was almost too open. I don't think I would change it because I like what that game is, but yeah, it's just I got lost.
And I think that's what I like about games is that I prefer the games that purposefully don't give you that much direction, that they just let you off and they're like, you have to kind of figure out what you want to do. And I kind of like that because I'm not bound by any leash or anything. So
you should try the original Legend of Zelda.
I don't think I could.
Was that on one of those Nintendo things?
Oh, was that on Nintendo?
Yeah, it was.
What's on Nintendo?
Is that like an Apple TV?
I think it
might
as
well be. They have the same. They have the same amount of people who play them nowadays. Dude, I cannot stand directionless games, but I get sick and tired when I play a game that's, hey, let's walk to the end of the hall. Cutscene! Hey, let's walk to the end of the hall. Boss fight! Hey, let's walk to the end of the hall. Shop!
Oh, dude, that's why I can't... That's my experience with almost every JRPG I've played. Yeah. And that's why I can't play JRPGs is because I'm watching the game. I'm not playing it.
Yeah, I know.
And, oh, God. Western games.
The good JRPGs, yes, they do start out very linear. Good JRPGs like Final Fantasy VII, for instance, very linear at the beginning of the game. You literally have to follow a defined steps. I mean, it's obvious what they are, but there is a list of defined steps to get out of the first town you get in. In the first town, you can probably put 11, 12 hours into that content. If you're slow, if you really want to do everything, if you really want to experience, you know, the bathhouse and how to complete that and find the Kate Sith in the bathhouse and, you know, do everything right and get Cloud chosen. You know what I mean. If you've done it, you know what I mean. I'm going to cut them off and stuff. Anyway, moving on. you can spend hours in Midgar in the beginning of Final Fantasy VII, but the second you're out of there, the game practically opens up into an open world. You're literally limited by, yes, you're limited by going to certain towns and talking to certain people, progressing the storyline, but in doing so, you gain more things like an airship, a hover ship, even the ability to breed chocobos, which are chicken monsters that you can use to traverse the landscape to the point where you can climb over mountains. You can totally Skyrim horse. But I completely agree with your sentiment of a lot of JRPGs, a lot of RPGs in general, are extremely linear at the beginning. I completely agree.
All right. That was a hugely tangential answer to a... But hey, that's what happens on Totally Heroes.
Yeah, we've never done that before.
I know.
Well, we did have one answer in the chat room before. Apparently everybody quit and went home. Chiz said, I love bigger open worlds, but it's way too easy to get lost in them sometimes if there aren't at least a few guiding things along the way. So, yeah. Thank you, Chiz.
I do have to agree.
All right, excellent.
Kind of an or else thing. Anywho, for those people who love listening to the show, I'm sorry you couldn't watch it this week on Twitch. But if you are going to listen, then I have to recommend Tweaked Audio headbuds. Earbuds. Tweaked Audio. Quality earbuds. Free worldwide shipping. Unbeatable customer service. Lifetime warranty with our code. Off the record, all one word at checkout gets 30% off your order. All at tweakedaudio.com. That's tweakedaudio.com. And that's how you do a segue, Brian.
I'm sorry, I just got back. What did I miss?
Jesus. Anyway, is there anything else we need to say on the question of the week?
I think we're all set, man.
We're all good. All right, then it's time to wrap up the show. Brian, if you could, how to reach us?
Sure. Be sure to follow us on Twitter. You can find the show at Totally Heroes. You can also find Dave at Dienforce, DienForce. You can follow Shank at Shank the Tank, SHANKTHTANK. And you can follow myself at Silent Fury 007. If you have a question or something you want to talk about, send us an email at questgamingcommunity@gmail.com. Check us out on our forums at questgamingcommunity.com. Is that right? Questgamingcommunity.com?
Questgamingcommunity.com. Yeah, that's right.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Head there. You can also find us on Facebook at facebook.com/questgamingnetwork. We're on Google Plus, google.com/plus/questgamingnetwork. Anything you guys are working on this week you want to share with the community to be looking out for?
I know me personally, I just put some finishing touches on this week's Shank Spiel. If you're listening to this,
I love those, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
They're great.
Well, thanks.
Watch out, Adam Sessler.
this week's, I'm probably going to catch some people off guard with what I have to say this week, because it might seem counterintuitive to what I usually say, but,
this week's episode is titled Graphics Suck.
Yes, it is.
wow.
Surprisingly, it's actually not that far off. But so that goes live every Thursdays. It's my new editorial/video pairing. That's every Thursday at 9 a.m. Eastern Time on questgamingnetwork.com and on our YouTube channel as well. So be on the lookout for that on Thursday.
On a similar note, I noticed that you played Infamous Second Son a lot in third person.
I did. It was weird. I thought the game was broken, dude.
You thought? Oh, jeez. No, it was being played properly.
So broken? I think that's a bug. I'm going to have to talk to Sucker Punch on that.
Dave, anything you got going on for the network?
I have been pouring all of my effort over the last few days into getting the Elder Scrolls Online guild and community up and rolling. As of this show right now, we have over 300 people in our first guild. We have room for 2,000. So we're steadily growing. And tomorrow is the second group of people getting the game, the second early access bunch.
Yeah.
And then the fourth will be the official launch. So we can only see more people joining from here. It's getting kind of crazy.
Yeah. Was that it, Dave? Sorry. Anything else?
Yeah.
Okay. I was going to say, I'm not working on anything too big right now. I have a couple things in the works, but I do have a big announcement coming up after ESO launches sometime. So
yeah, actually, there's a few big announcements coming up.
That's true. Yes.
There are a few. So keep in mind, guys, there are maybe a few changes, but there are a few really exciting, really big announcements for all of us.
We have been bought by Facebook.
We have been bought by Facebook, and we're going to be using the Oculus Rift.
24/7.
That's what we should have talked about tonight. We should talk about that.
All right.
Real quick, before we wrap up the show, I want to ask you the question. My co-hosts...
Quat one number two.
Facebook purchased the Oculus Rift. Did you talk about this last week?
No, it broke, I think, right after our show last week.
Right after the show.
Yep.
Right after the show, we found out that the Oculus Rift, for those who don't know, it's the 3D interface that is basically goggles.
Virtual reality.
Virtual reality goggles that you put on. And the entire studio was purchased by Facebook. Now, the studio isn't changing at all. The studio is not going to change. The people who run the studio still run it. It is what it is. But they are now under ownership from Facebook. So I have to ask my co-hosts, how do y'all feel on this?
My initial reaction was WTF. Like, why? 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 I couldn't figure it out. I still don't completely understand it, but I mean, there's been a lot of, you know, negative reaction, hate. People at Oculus even receiving death threats for selling to Facebook.
Really?
And I think, yes. Saw that just but right before we started. So they've been getting some death threats, and I think that is a bit overblown. I mean, we don't know what Facebook has planned. You know, they don't have a track record, as far as I know, of buying companies and running them into the ground.
Except
for Facebook, yes, of course. They have said that they don't intend to take it over and start doing it their way. They want Oculus to operate as its own individual company just within the walls of Facebook. And so I think at this point there's nothing to really freak out about. It's weird, and I don't get what they're going to do. And if they make you log in your Facebook account to use your Oculus Rift, I would hate that.
They're going to. You know that. You're going to have to log in on your Facebook account, you know. Yeah.
I would hate.
Girl number 18 from your high school yearbook says, OMG, look at these 12 pictures of my baby.
They look so much better in VR. Like,
I'm in the middle of trying to play something in 3D. I don't want to see... No, I don't want to be invited to play your, you know, Farmville. Dang it.
But how good would Farmville look in virtual
reality? No.
I can't even get through that.
No.
No.
No, you're wrong. I've heard good and bad from this.
Yeah, I'm not super concerned, but I'd love to hear what you guys think.
I've heard good and bad. I've heard people have the argument of these people don't understand mainstream gaming. These people are out of their league. They're purchasing something and they don't get what it can even be used for. I grasp that. I grasp that social media is like... It literally is the social media level content. Like, if you're going to cite sources on a book report, you'd cite Wikipedia before you cite Facebook.
Yeah.
Okay? Just making a point. These people don't... They're not responsible. They change as the wind flows kind of thing. How many times in the last 2 weeks have they changed Facebook's front page.
Oh, God.
How it all looks. Your wall changes anyway. I always get updates from them. Like, I don't give a damn. Anyway.
I actually got rid of my Facebook. So
I'm considering it.
I'm just one of those guys that post pictures of my babies. That's all I do.
You're a monster. Anyway. I've heard a lot of that negativity, but I've heard positivity as well. I've heard basically saying, this is going to bring the hardcore gaming experience to the masses. This is going to bring the gaming to the forefront even more so than it is today.
Didn't they say that about the Xbox One?
No, they said that was going to reinvent the entertainment industry. And okay. Just because I guess it wanted to spy on you at home and take pictures of you anyway.
Which I'm all for, but you know.
Different entertainment industry than we were hoping.
It's interesting because the way I look at this is Facebook to me means capital. Capital to me means economies of scale. Economies of scale means you can bring the product to the consumer easier with fewer barriers. So I think that this is going to help them commercialize their product a little bit more and make it more accessible in the best possible way, meaning it's not going to cost $1,000 for one of these things.
Yeah.
And I think that's good. But as far as what do I think of the whole thing, I mixed emotions. I genuinely don't know how to feel. And I think we just need to get more details on it, but until I can figure out exactly what the overall strategy, long-term, short-term, is going to be and how that's going to pan out for both Facebook and, but more importantly, for Oculus.
Yeah, and I think this might open a hole with the can of worms maybe we shouldn't go into tonight, but a lot of the anger was over, you know, the Kickstarter backers who backed the Oculus, and they're saying, you know, I didn't pay money for you to turn it into a Facebook product. Well, what you did was you paid money for a developer kit and you got that. So, you know, the bargain is done. So, you didn't pay for, you know, the future of the company and taking ownership in all profits and things like that. So, I mean, I think if you're angry that, you know, Facebook bought your Kickstarter back, your program thing, whatever it's called. I think it's misguided, but yeah, we'll see.
Now I know there's been some anger. We've already said there's been death threats, but I know there's been some anger even from developers who are the people developing games. We've seen major developers, minor and major developers, have been jumping ship. I don't know if you've seen this, but one of the biggest developers, Mojang, who was developing Minecraft for the Oculus Rift, immediately posted the cancellation of the Oculus Rift port after this report was put out. Immediately canceled it. I mean, I believe the beta is still on there and able to be accessed, but any future development has been ceased.
Yeah, I can. Yeah.
He said Facebook was creepy. That was part of his reasoning.
Facebook is creepy. And, you know, you can't really debate that.
No. Nope.
But that's not the point at hand. The point at hand is they found someone to be their sugar mama who's going to help support them and get their word out in an effective, reasonable manner. In a perfect world, Facebook could be that outlet. Easily, Facebook could be that outlet in a perfect world. But from past experiences with Facebook to the way it conducts itself, it's as good as the pop music industry.
Oh, God.
Where it's run basically on the wallets of 14-year-old girls.
Kesha is forever.
Oh, dear God. Basically, I don't want to see an Oculus Rift Justin Bieber edition.
I would be outraged at that. I would be fine with a Kesha edition.
Oh, dear God. Rhinestones and PhDs on it.
You wouldn't have PhDs. Maybe like...
She's a genus.
What?
A genus.
I have no idea what you're saying.
She's smart.
Oh. Wow.
SMRT.
Anywho. All right, guys. Is there anything else we need to say on the Oculus Rift discussion?
Nope. I'm good.
Feel free to email us in. One more time, we are at questgamingcommunity@gmail.com. Tell us what you feel about the Oculus Rift. And we'd love to see what you have to say. Final thing. Shank, take us out, brother.
Sure. So you guys can check up on the latest, greatest gaming news and how to join our community. You can head over on to questgamingnetwork.com. Here you can stay connected to all the latest news from your games like Rift, Elder Scrolls, and to your consoles, Xbox, PlayStation, whatever that Nintendo thing is. And yeah, you know, we're passionate about it. We'll write about it. And you can also donate to our shows. $10 gets you a special mention if you prefer. And just say, you know, which show you want to be shouted out on. We can get that going for you. And any amount donated is a huge help to the network. You can follow our other shows. For example, we have Rift Off the Record live Sundays at 7 p.m. SWTOR Reforged Mondays at 7 p.m. Elder Scrolls Off the Record Thursdays at 7 p.m. Followed by Classic Elder Scrolls Night on Fridays at 9, and Community Game Night on Saturdays at 9 p.m., all times Eastern. You can find out all the ways to hear our QGN shows and contact us from the sidebar on our website, where you can find links to our Stitcher Radio app on your mobile device, as well as on iTunes. And you can check out all of our gaming videos, how-to guides, and recorded Twitch streams at youtube.com/questgamingnetwork. And just like all the shows that we stream live to you guys, we do stream 7 days a week on our Twitch channel at twitch.tv/questgamingnetwork.
All right. Thank you very much, Shank. And thank you, Brian. This has been a wonderful episode. Once again, y'all are awesome.
Yay, Twitch tech issues.
Oh, tech issues. Yay. Anywho, my name's Dave Dean Force Adams, and you just listened to Totally Heroes, which is a Quest Gaming Network production. Have a great one, everybody. I will see you next week.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one. I'm going to research what the heck a Nintendo is.
We did it, you guys. Totally Heroes. Kame aru, sore no oto saru bobo.